From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message called Samuel, the Last of the Judges, part of this series in the book of Judges. Samuel's ministry formed a bridge between Israel as a theocracy and the installation of Saul as their first king. His mother Hannah dedicated him to the Lord before he was born, and she fulfilled her oath to give him to God by handing him to the high priest Eli to be brought up in the tabernacle. Dr. Cairns places great emphasis upon the blessing and the importance of godly mothers and fathers in the lives of their children. Also, Samuel's early years of instruction in the ways of the Lord demonstrate the importance of having our children in God's house from their youngest days. In addition, the very atmosphere of our homes should be motivated and regulated by the Word of God if we would see our children saved and living for the Lord as they mature. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Today's text is in John chapter 1 and verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received." These words tell us that there is a fullness in Christ. There is a fullness of essential deity, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. There is a fullness of perfect manhood, for in him bodily that Godhead was revealed. There is a fullness of atoning efficacy in his blood, for the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. There is a fullness of justifying righteousness in his life, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is a fullness of divine prevalence in his plea, for he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is a fullness of victory in his death, for through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. There is a fullness of efficacy in his resurrection from the dead, for by it we are begotten again unto a lively hope. There is a fullness of triumph in his ascension, for when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and received gifts for men. There is a fullness of blessings of every sort and shape, a fullness of grace to pardon, of grace to regenerate, of grace to sanctify, of grace to preserve, and of grace to perfect. There is a fullness at all times, a fullness of comfort in affliction, a fullness of guidance in prosperity, a fullness of every divine attribute, of wisdom, of power, of love, a fullness which it were impossible to survey, much less to explore. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, what a fullness must this be, of which all receive! Fullness indeed must there be, when the stream is always flowing, and yet the well springs up as free, as rich, as full as ever. Come, believer, and get all thy needs supplied. Ask largely, and thou shalt receive largely, for this fullness is inexhaustible, and is treasured up where all the needy may reach it, even in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shame, the voice of angels born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea,
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 1-800-236-2965. Be sure to request your copy of The Lord's Supper today.
Example that a child can have is a parent's example. And if more parents would show their children what dedication really is and spend less time telling them what their dedication ought to be, I think they would have a lot more fruit spiritually in the lives of their children. So she gave them to the Lord and made a deep impact upon his development, upon his life, and upon his service. Is it any wonder he was a great man of prayer when he was the son of one of the great prayer warriors of all the women of the Old Testament? Is it any wonder he was inflexible in his lifelong dedication to God when he was himself given to God in one of the most beautiful acts of dedication anywhere recorded in Scripture? I trust that every mother and every father in this meeting tonight who looks at Hannah dedicating her child to the Lord will know what it is really to take the infants that God has given you and honestly, wholeheartedly give them back to God. They're his. He gave them. He can take them at any moment. They are on loan to you for a while. You do well to give them to him in true and honest dedication. Samuel's ministry started before he was able to think one thought for himself or pronounce one word for himself. His ministry was started in the heart of a godly mother who dedicated him to the Lord. There's nothing in this world that can take the place of such a mother. There may be many things she can't give you, but that's one thing that's worth more than all the rest combined. I've said before in this pulpit, as I look back in my own life, I was privileged to be born into a Christian home. Not a perfect home. Many things that could well have been done differently. That's true in any home. But nonetheless, a home where we knew the gospel. It was only when I went in to study for the ministry, when I came back and told my folks how God had called me to the work, it was only then, when I was 20 years old, and my mother told me, before you were born. I solemnly give you to God for the Christian ministry. I prayed that God would take you and make you a preacher. I never heard of it in all those years. That was wise. But through those years, there was the dedication. There was the prayer. And God answered prayer. That's the greatest gift my mother could ever give me after life itself. His dedication to the Lord. A quick word about his preparation. He was reared in the tabernacle. You know what's a wonderful thing when you get your children early in the house of God? Now, you're not going to leave them here. Have them in God's house. Now, I know this is application rather than exegesis here. But the application is well founded. I'm very tempted actually to get away off on a tangent now and end up preaching another sermon. I've been in America 10 years, 10 and a half years. I know to some of you it seems like 50. But that's only because the sermons have been so brief. And there seem to be so many of them. What I'm going to say is not said in a critical spirit, but it's said in an honest spirit. There is one great weakness that I find, not only in this church, but I find as I have moved around various parts of America and dealt with churches of different kinds and talked to preachers of different churches and backgrounds and denominations, etc. And it's this. There is a very low estimate of the church. A church nowadays is a place where people, they just get it and they have a checklist. And if this church measures up to me, then I will confer upon it the dignity of my presence. And as soon as somebody smiles the wrong way or doesn't smile the right way or says or does something, then I'm gone. And then there's the added attitude that, well, my children have homeworks, my children have this, my children have to go to this, the school is the other thing, the Boy Scouts have another thing, and the church will come 41st in a list of 41 things. Now, all those other things may be very, very important, but I tell you quite honestly that next to a Christ-centered home, it is God's ordination that his people rear their children in the church. And there's nothing in God's earth can take the place of that. And you only upset that balance at the greatest danger to yourself and the greatest danger to your children. When I look back on the years I spent in the town of Ballymoney, and I can give a better judgment from there because we were more like a parish. We had everybody within fairly close range. We were dealing with families. I found Christians, not a lot of them, but nonetheless some, Christians who did not have a very careful attitude about getting their children constantly under the sound of the Word of God. When it came to young people's night, they could either come or not come. It was really up to the kids very often. The parents themselves were not altogether that regular. As I look at those families, there are people in them who, by the grace of God, have been changed and lifted to a higher level than they were trained in the home. But I see others, and they have been devastated. Whereas when I look at other families, some of them even unsaved families, I think of unsaved parents who would not allow the doors of that church to be opened without making sure their kids were there. And tonight, every last one of them saved and serving Christ. It's vitally important that your children growing up get to see the reality of the things you're talking about. And if you tell them that God and His Word, Christ and His Gospel, the church and its ministry are the all-important things in life, but any little thing is good enough to keep you away, and any little excuse is good enough for them not to be under the sound of the Word, then they quickly get the message: the church is just play-acting. Samuel's preparation. He was reared in the house of God. In those days, I think that would have meant that he had access probably to original copies of the Scriptures. May well have been that what Moses wrote laboriously out by hand was actually still in the Ark of the Covenant in those days, or still by the Ark of the Covenant. He was trained in the Word. He was trained in the things of God. It's an amazing thing. I can't prove it, but I have read it from so-called experts, and I'll accept their word on it, that a child learns more in the first 5 years of its life than it learns in all the rest of its years combined. And undoubtedly, it not only learns how to walk and talk and relate to people and certain little facts and figures, it learns things that are the ground and basis for most of what it ever does in the rest of its life. It is undoubtedly true, though this can be overplayed by sociologists, etc., and psychologists, but it is undoubtedly true that emotional, psychological injury inflicted in the first year or two of life can impair a personality forever. And it's equally true that when a child is taught the Word of God from its earliest years, in not just as a mechanical thing, but in an atmosphere where it is surrounded by the reality of spiritual things and the warmth of a living relationship of love with Christ, that child has the greatest possible start in life. Children's Bible training is vital. And you read passages like Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11, you'll find the emphasis that the Lord places on the Bible in the home. Not just saying, there's your Bible verse for school or Sunday school, now learn it, or you'll feel the weight of the paddle. Not that. Sometimes that has to be done, mind you, but not that. But when the Scripture actually is the very air that you breathe in the home, when you talk about the Scriptures, when you sit down, when you rise up, when you go out, when you come in, when all that happens is related to the Word of God, that's what the Scripture is speaking about. I think in so many Christian homes nowadays, the atmosphere is the atmosphere of Hollywood. The atmosphere is created by the television. The atmosphere is the atmosphere, therefore, of the world and the values of the world. And the Bible gets a little look in, and we think we are super spiritual. If there's a 5-minute segment in the day where we read a psalm and we say a prayer, my, what giants we are! Rather, what downright miserable hypocrites we are! It is the scripture that is to give the whole atmosphere to a home. That's the Bible standard. And I want to tell you, that is the only preparation for life that you can give your children that will stand them in good stead in the days to come. You may make sure of their education. They can use even a Christian education to turn out rebels and go to hell. They can even take a Sunday school education and twist it to the service of the devil. There's nothing to take the place of this preparation, the like of which Samuel had.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.